So, second of our podcast, now we turn our attention to the British Navy, and we just start off with a general description of the British Navy and its development through the French Wars.
Okay, I think one of the key things is to stress how far the Royal Navy is extremely significant in late 18th century British culture and society, as well as obviously politics. Remember, when the British become hyper-patriotic in the 1740s, and they make up patriotic songs, it is Rule Britannia, Britannia rule the waves. Britain is a great sea-going nation, as it were, as part of the mythology, part of the imagery, self-imagery of the British in the 18th century. Now, it's very difficult for us today, I think, to understand the importance of the sea in this sense, that it was extraordinarily important. Coastal trade, coastal transport was extraordinarily important in the 18th century. Very few parts of England or Wales are very far from the sea, although it may seem so, but by continental European standards, most of England and Wales, most of the populated area of Scotland, are extremely close to the open seas. This is absolutely fundamental to a great deal of normal, everyday transport in Britain. Goods are shipped along the coast. People are dependent upon coastal transport because land transport is so slow, so difficult, until you get the introduction of better roads and, of course, canals in the 1780s, 1790s, and into the early 19th century. Then, of course, a further transformation with the railways coming in from the 1840s. So firstly, even for the British Isles themselves, the coast is very important. Access to the sea is very important. But of course, you add that then Britain's trading interests. Now, the difficulty here is how far Britain was a trading country. Clearly, the importance of trade can be exaggerated. The key to British growth in the period of the Napoleonic and French Revolutionary Wars was the domestic economy. But of course, you fed into that domestic economy raw materials and key goods from the wider parts of the world. I mean, sugar from the West Indies, tobacco from America, and so on. You've got distantly peppers, spices from India, goods coming from much farther afield. But crucial to Britain's trading interests was trade with the German ports, with Dutch ports, with what are today Belgian ports, and with France. It's very similar to our present trade. If you look today at the pattern of British trade with the European Union, the majority of Britain's exports to the EU are to Germany, the Netherlands, and France. In other words, out of the 27 other countries in the EU, the majority of all those exports go to just three countries. And if you threw in Belgium, you'd push that up a little more. In other words, the fundamental pattern of our trade has remained pretty constant, with obvious variations over time, but the fundamental interest of Britain is with the German, Dutch, Belgian and French key ports, with exporting to those ports. Now, in the late 18th century, part of the difficulty was that, of course, we were competitors with the Dutch and we were competitors with the French on many occasions, and particularly with France. So, what role does the Royal Navy play in this kind of scenario? The Navy has four key roles. First, of course, it is a shield against invasion. One of the leading admirals of the time, Lord St. Vincent, who had won a victory against the Spanish at the Battle of St. Vincent in 1797, said he couldn't guarantee that Britain would not be invaded, but he could guarantee that Britain would never be invaded by sea. That, in other words, the Navy would stop anybody attacking us. The second role of the Navy, obviously, is to reduce the power of foreign navies. In other words, to ensure that key sea lanes are open to the British, and particularly access to the Channel from the Atlantic. And so the Navy plays that sort of role in deterring major foreign fleets on the high seas. But there are other roles as well for the Navy. And this is often forgotten. One of them is to ensure that small enemy warships don't attack British coastal shipping. Coastal shipping is so vitally important. So the Navy isn't just a big fleet navy, it's got to have the capacity to prevent small enemy craft, either purpose-built small warships or merchant ships which are armed and licensed by the foreign governments to attack British merchant ships. It's got to prevent them from attacking coastal shipping, which is so important to the British economy. But fourthly, of course, the Royal Navy plays a role doing the opposite, attacking its opponents, its enemies, coastal shipping, its minor shipping, and its minor ports. So one shouldn't be totally fixated in thinking of the Royal Navy with the very big fleets. The smaller warships play a very important role, even in times of war with great powers. And that, I think, is something which threads through the whole story of the French Revolutionary and Napoleonic Wars. Some of the early victories when Britain goes to war with France in 1793, some of the early victories are medium-sized and small warship victories, one-on-one battles, not great fleet actions. And great glory could be won by a commander of a frigate, a ship with, say, 28 guns. Great glory could be won by a commander of a ship like that fighting by himself, one ship, against one or two enemy ships in the 1790s. And that continues all through these long wars. Very important, the small ship action. Okay, so those are the kind of introductory thoughts about the Navy. It's got many, many tasks. Now, the other point I think to make about the Royal Navy was that it had already faced immense challenges during the wars provoked by the American Revolution. The American Revolutionary War starts in 1776. The French joined the war, fighting Britain, in 1778. The Spanish joined in 1779. Their objective was to get Gibraltar back from Britain. They didn't care much about American independence, but they wanted Gibraltar back, so they'd fight the British while the British were weak. And then the Dutch joined in 1780. Well, the importance of that is that those three countries, France, Spain, and Holland, were the three major naval powers after Britain. And so Britain, from 1780, is facing a really serious challenge at sea. And the Royal Navy does well in those conflicts. In 1781 and 1782, it chalks up some important victories, particularly against the French Navy. So when you start the war in 1793 with the British going against the French, the Royal Navy already is quite confident. It has already built up a strong reputation against its main opponents. And of course they find in the war that follows in 1793 a much easier French opponent, because the French Revolution has destroyed the French naval officer corps, who largely consist of aristocrats, who are removed from their posts, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, with the rise of the French Republic in 1793 and into 94-95. So, what is the story of the British Navy, the Royal Navy, in the 1790s? They defeat the French in 1794 in a fleet action in the Atlantic, the glorious 1st of June. And then when Spain joins the war on the French side, the Royal Navy defeats the Spanish Navy in St. Vincent in February 1797. And when the French take over Holland, the British destroy or attack and defeat the Dutch Navy in the autumn of 1797 at Camperdown. So in effect, by 1797, the Royal Navy has asserted its overwhelming superiority against the key three continental navies, the French, the Spanish, and the Dutch. And that is before, as it were, Nelson becomes a leading figure. I mean, he does well at the Battle of St. Vincent. Otherwise, these successes are the Royal Navy's successes. They're nothing to do with Nelson himself.